Welcome to Rights Radio, your independent voice. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Starr. Rights Radio is brought to you by StarPublications.com and by RightsRadio.com, where consumer, economic, homeowner, health, and security rights have a permanent address. And my guest today is Karen Gantz, a sought-after New York literary agent and literary property lawyer. Recent clients include Alec Baldwin and Kathleen Turner. Karen negotiates publishing agreements, option agreements, movie and entertainment deals, and deals with all aspects of the publishing field. She also specializes in nonfiction works. Her website is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Gantz, G-A-N-T-Z, Lit, L-I-T, .com. Karen is a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania and the Cardozo Law School, where she was elected to the Law Review. She's also written two well-received cookbooks, Taste of New York and Super Chefs, both published by leading houses. She served on a presidential advisory committee on intellectual property, is a member of the Board of Trustees of New York's prestigious Harmony Club, and chairs the Harmony Club's Literary and Media Committee, where best-selling authors are invited to speak. We're pleased to advise our audience that Karen Gantz Lit and Star Publishing have joined together to offer a VIP coaching program for exceptional authors. Call 786-693-4223. Leave a detailed message regarding your book and your contact information. It's so nice to have you on the show, Karen.
Thank you. It's my privilege to work with you. We've known each other for so many years, and I'm a big admirer of yours.
It's quite mutual. Is it more difficult for an aspiring author to be published today by the mainstream press than it was a few years ago?
All sectors of the publishing world are facing challenges today because of a weaker economy. Because of the proliferation of alternate means of writing and exploitation of writing, for example, the iPhone, all the applications, Twitter, blog, all the internet content and information make it much, much harder to get a book published. Not only because it's very expensive, so people think twice in this kind of economy whether or not a book is going to sell well, but also because there's so much content online that people often opt to get the free information rather than purchasing a book.
But many have a feeling of entitlement based on a proposal that they've worked on for extended periods or even the book itself. They don't understand that publishing is a business and authors need a strong platform and an excellent business plan. Many seem to feel that this is the agent's responsibility or the publisher's responsibility, not theirs. How do you respond to that?
I think it's a very good question. As you well know, Joyce, people have a team when they get a book published. The author has to do as much work as the publisher, as the agent. They have to get book coaches. They have to get publicists. They have to get sponsors for their work. Half of a proposal for a publisher is having a formidable marketing plan. In Virginia Woolf's day, you'd send up your manuscript or Charlotte Bronte, and the work spoke for itself. It's a different medium today, a different market. People need to have, as you said, a formidable platform, whether they're on television, they have internet presence, they need to either have a website for their book, for their ideas, they have to have a following, whether it's on blogs or Twitter. Many publishers and editors get book ideas from following blogs of individuals who are good writers and have quite a following. But an author has to do a lot of it for themselves, really branding themselves so that they can be more marketable in today's world.
You're involved in all stages of a book's development. What are those stages?
I meet with them. We do a little market research to see if their book will add to the literary marketplace of ideas and to see if there's a need for that book in the marketplace. Today, publishers can go on BookScan. They subscribe to a service and can find out if a book on a similar topic sold well or not. So I just had a meeting with someone a few minutes ago. They have a book on Bobby Fischer. The publisher is going to go look and see whether or not books on Bobby Fischer sell, whether or not there's an interest in it today. The book has to be really unusual. It has to be anecdotal. It has to be material that's never been read before to really pique the interest of a publisher. It has to be really engaging. Then the author has to write a really formidable proposal, which, as I said, has a table of contents, a sample chapter or more, depending on particular work it is. So what I would say as an answer to that, Joyce, is it's a team project. It's not just the agent has to do everything or the publisher. Most authors want their publisher to do more. There are limited resources. You have to find out from a publisher if your book is going to be a lead book or not. Sometimes you'll get less money, but it'll be more important to the particular publisher, and they'll put their resources behind it. So each situation is very individualistic, and a lot of authors don't want to spend the money to put their proposal in a shape that it should be in, but it's very short-sighted because no editor is going to read a proposal unless it's formidable. And so it's very difficult. Some authors don't understand that, and they hand something in that's not their best job. What I always tell them is it's worth putting the money into making your proposal extraordinary, which will, of course, lead to a higher advance and a bigger commitment on the part of the publisher.
Why is a proposal sufficient? I mean, of course, a proposal in a chapter. Wouldn't it be better if the publisher could see several chapters at least, or even the final product?
It'd be much better if an author is willing to do that and take the time and resource to do that. Of course, yes, especially in fiction. Publishers want to know where the book is starting and where it's going. The same thing nonfiction. It could be a book where there's a public policy portion of the book. The book could be divided into three parts, and each part has to be able to stand on its own. And of course, yes, your question is a good one, because that would be the best way for a publisher and an agent, by the way, to decide whether or not they want to advocate on behalf of this project. And as you well know, Joyce, an agent has to be proud of the project they're representing. They can't send something to a publisher that's not top shape, because then the next time you send it to that particular editor, they're not going to make your project a priority. So it's really, really important that an author send their best work to their agent.
I think that people may underestimate how hard an agent works and how much work is involved. All of the different negotiations with the publishing houses, the post-pitch, following up, meetings. What would you say is the average amount of time that you spend?
I spend at least 40 hours with an author. I think a new business model is developing where agents are going to be paid for their time. There's just too much effort that has to go into it. You work and work and work with an author. They may just leave and go elsewhere. You need to have some kind of financial commitment on the part of the author to be willing to work with a really, really good agent, because there are so many levels involved. As you said, just getting to the stage of having an impressive proposal takes hours and hours and hours. Then you have to pitch the project to prospective editors, which could take a few months, actually. Not only pitching it verbally, you meet them in person, you might take the author around with you to pitch their project if it's a recognized author, or if you convince a publisher, you, the agent, convince the publisher that this is a formidable project. They are willing sometimes to sit down with the author to hear how best to make the book happen. And if you have a very high-profile author, the director of publicity, the director of marketing, the editor, and some senior-level person in the publishing company will hear the pitch, and you only have one bite at the apple. That doesn't work. You're out the door if you do something inappropriate, or your author shows up really, really late. Things like that. There's a certain behavior code that's really important for your presentation, and as I said, you get one chance at the apple. Once they've said no, you can't go back to them. They're not going to change their minds once you've left an impression about what you're doing and your approach to your project.
Do you find that there are authors who make that single mistake and yet then blame you for not being able to get them back in the door?
I haven't had that happen to me, because I try to prepare my authors as I would if I were going to court, and preparing my witnesses so they have an idea of what goes on at these meetings. That's not to say it always works smoothly. Some authors say whatever they want, or they pitch a different type of book that I prepare them for, and you try to redirect the conversation, but sometimes you can if you have high, you know, celebrity type clients and they have their views about what they wanted to pitch. I think you have to go with the flow and just really be adaptable. Use your negotiating skills to try to direct the conversation where you'd like it headed. I think that's what you have to look for in a literary agent. You need someone who has good negotiating skills. I happen to be a lawyer, so I've had trained in that area. I think it's really important. I think you're a business person today. You're not just someone who is a good writer. You need a lot more skills in order to pitch a book because you are the advocate for this author. And some authors are real artists, people who need business managers. So you have to function as a business manager, lawyer, agent to really advocate on behalf of that author who might not be able to advocate for themselves. Part of the whole training is to prepare an author to present their project because they're the experts. I'd much rather have my authors come with me because they're the experts on the topic, and that's what has to be conveyed to a publisher, the expertise of the author and the platform of the author. And that's just as important today as the content of your project.
Your background as an attorney is really quite important. You bring something to the table that the majority of literary agents do not.
It's very, very helpful to have a legal background because you really want to negotiate a contract as well as you can. And there's certain clauses that are negotiable and certain clauses that aren't negotiable. And a lawyer knows what clauses those are better than other people.
Do you find it difficult to work with high visibility celebrities? Are they more difficult or are they in fact easier? Is it easier to get a contract?
Much easier to get a contract because they are high profile. Alec Baldwin's on television. He's in 30 Rock. He's at the top of his career. He's very sought after. I've gotten calls from many, many publishers dying for his next book, whether it's on the 30 Rock book or something he wants to write on a different topic or his community service or his political interests. People call, editors call you when they want a book. For example, Jules and Julia, when Jody Adams wrote that book, the editor, Judy Klain at Little Brown called her and said, what a magnificent story, because her story was written up in the New York Times, that she tested all of Julia Child's recipes, and this editor thought it was brilliant, and then the agents called. So good agents read the newspaper, read magazines, get ideas, and call people directly. I always prefer to contact writers when I have an idea. I read something in the New Yorker or the Atlantic Monthly or the New York Times or any periodical, even a television show that you feel will make a formidable book. It's much more interesting from my point of view if I approach people and tell them my idea and see what their response is. It works both ways.
What can writers do to increase the likelihood of representation by your firm?
Making sure they send something without any typos, without any spelling mistakes. Sometimes they spell a person's name wrong. I won't read it further. If it doesn't engage you, the first two pages, they rarely read on. Neither would an editor or a publishing company. So you have to grab the reader, let them know what your expertise is, what your platform is, and your writing has to really be most impressive because agents like myself and others get piles of requests every day, and something really has to stand out which will pique your interest that makes you want to read further. An online presence is very, very important today. I look for people who either have sponsors because of their websites, they've done some kind of online publicity for their companies. I find that very, very impressive, and more agents are looking to that business model. There's a new thing called the VOOC, which is a reading and viewing experience where digital text and videos complement the narrative. So I'm looking for people who have that kind of thing. Simon & Schuster has a joint venture with a multimedia company to do that. There are all these new applications that are being explored. So if someone comes to me and makes a presentation on an iPhone with some application for their new book, that just piques my interest because I think more and more they're going to be smaller books, they're going to be e-books, they're going to be VOOCs, different applications for the written hardcover book. And anyone who wants to present that to me definitely piques my interest, that they're interested in cutting edge material.
That's excellent. Karen, I want to thank you for sharing your time today and your insights. It's quite educational.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Joyce. You're a great author yourself, and I look forward to more books from you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Joyce Starr with RightsRadio.com.